Amen. It's such a wonderful day today. You know, you look at your life, and depending on where your life is at, then at times you allow where your life is at to dictate to how you perceive the day. And that is a big challenge for us as the body of Christ, because the Bible says we should not walk by what we see, but walk by faith. Faith sees things that we hope for. Faith becomes the evidence of those things that are not seen as yet. So we are not supposed to allow just what is happening around us to be what dictates what happens in our lives. Now, as we take this time to spend time in the Word of God, what is important for me is that, why did you come to the house of the Lord? What is the reason that you came to fellowship with us today? I really believe that you did not come because of somebody. I really believe that you came because you wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. And when we spend this time in the presence of the Lord this morning, what we'll be looking at is His intentions where our lives are concerned. And I believe that God will help us to have a good understanding of what are His intentions where our lives are concerned. And what can we expect from Him? The Bible says we are not of this world, and therefore we should not live our lives like people of this world. There is no way that we should continue living our lives the way we've lived our lives. So we thank God for that wonderful opportunity to come into His presence to hear His word. And now, just want to pray for the word this morning. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we're so grateful for this wonderful opportunity that we have had this morning to praise and worship You, Father God, in song. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, it's such an honor for us to give You all the praise and the glory that You deserve, Father. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, for all that You've done for us. And Lord, we thank You as well for the opportunity we had to honor You with our finances as well, for the furtherance of Your kingdom, Father. We are grateful that in Jesus' mighty name, Your kingdom is advancing, Father God. We are thankful, Father, that Your kingdom is taking over. Father, we thank You for the transformation of minds, the renewal of the minds, Father. Thank You, Father, for the change of minds as Your word is being taught. Lord, in Jesus' name this morning again, Lord, we receive now Your anointing. The anointing to understand this word that You have for us this morning. We open our hearts to You, Spirit of the living God. We receive that You do Your work in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give You praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we are currently busy with our series, which is actually the explanation of the word that God gave us in the beginning of the year when we asked God, what is the word that You have for us for 2016? And the Lord gave us the word, and that word was arise and shine. And He gave us Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1 to 5, where God is talking about arise and shine, for your light has come. Not that your light will come, but your light has already come. He says, the glory of the Lord is already risen upon you. So what you have to do is just to arise. And as you arise, your light will be seen. It says, darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness shall cover the people. But the Lord shall arise over you. So things may be happening in the world. Things may be happening around you. But God promises to do what? To arise over you. And He says, then nations shall come to your rising, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is the promise of the Lord. This is the way that God has given us for 2016. He says, as we arise, His light shall be seen upon our lives. So we must not draw back. We must move forward. We must take possession of what God has given to us. When we look at now, what are the things that we need to do for us to be able to arise? And we mentioned three things. We said the first one is obedience to faith, not to standards. That's the first thing that we said we should do. We need to understand that we do not have to try to live up to certain standards, but we need to be obedient to faith. Faith believes what Jesus Christ did for us. So in other words, we have to be obedient then to what God has already provided, God has made available for us. What is it that God has made available for us? We need to be obedient to that. So if God says, I am your healer, you are healed, take that word. I am the healed of the Lord. Receive it and exercise it. If God says, I am your provider, take that word and exercise that word, where you are trusting Him to come through for you, to see His provision in your life. That is the obedience that we are called to. Always look unto Jesus. Be like Peter. The Bible says when Jesus gave Peter a word, He said, walk. Come to me. When Peter said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you. When he saw Jesus Christ walking on water, the Bible says what happened was Peter walked on the water while he kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was close to Jesus Christ, then what did he do? He took his eyes off and he started looking around. And the Bible says when he took his eyes off Jesus Christ and he saw the circumstances around him, he started. He didn't say, boom, and he went under. He started to go down. And as he was going down, which was even miraculous as well, and the Lord just grabbed him. And he asked him, why did you doubt? God gives us a word. When he gives us a word, it is not for us to look at the circumstances around us. God knows what is coming in 2016. He knows the future. And so he gives us the word. He says, arise and shine. Arise and shine. So he says, don't look then around you. Don't look at the circumstances around you. Know that as you arise, you will surely shine. That is what we're talking about. And then the Lord last week told us to go and study the example of Gideon. Now, Gideon is famous. A lot of people know about Gideon. People know how initially he was timid. He was intimidated by the Midianites, like everybody else. And God came and he called him out. And he said, I have called you to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. The Midianites had oppressed Israel for 7 full years. And God comes to this young man. That's what the Bible says. He was still a young man. And he said to him, I am going to use you to deliver Israel. And this young man said to God, but God, who am I that you can use me? If you look at my clan, we are the least. And I come from the weakest family. He did not have the confidence that everybody would have wanted to see. Yesterday I was listening as well through the Bible, and I heard the story as well about Saul. The Bible says God called Saul and he wanted him to be the king for the Israelites. When it was the day for Saul to be anointed king, he was hiding. The prophet of the Lord had to pray and ask, where is Saul? And God tell them where Saul was. And he was then called out of where he was and brought to the place where you're supposed to be anointed king of the Israelites. Remember what we said last week. We said, don't go to God and look at yourself, looking at your capabilities and say, because of who I am, because of what I have, God can use me. No. God takes those people that people think they do not qualify, and he uses those people. Because what God gets out of that is that those people put their whole trust in him. They know that they cannot do it in their own strength, and therefore then they need to trust God with all their hearts. And that allows God to do the work that he wants to do. That is all that God is looking for. Faith and trust in him. But the moment we have trust in ourselves, we know who we are, we know our capabilities, and we believe that God will use our capabilities, we block God. We don't allow him to do what he wants to do. God wants to do something with each one of us. The one thing that can block God from achieving what he wants to achieve with our lives, it is the trust in our abilities. Knowing who we are, knowing what we can do, and believing that God will use that. We think we're so special. You know, God just made me right for this. And that's where the problem starts. It's not that there's something happened, it's just that he can't do anything with you because you put your trust in yourself. We saw, as from last week, God comes to Gideon and Gideon says, I don't think that you can use me. But we saw that God said, I am going to use you. The first thing that God said to Gideon was, mighty hero. He said, you mighty man of valor. And the man looked around, wanting to see to whom is the angel of the Lord speaking to. And the angel of the Lord said, the Lord is with you. He said, how is it possible? How can the Lord be with me and with us if this is happening with us? And God said, I want you to go in this your strength. Verse 16, this is where we went up to. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Forget about the past. Forget about your failures. Know that now you are going to defeat the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. So now what we are saying is, when God gives you a mission, his intention is that you win. He does not expect you to start a mission and have you come to a point where you stop it because you have failed. No. His expectation is that you are going to complete that mission. That is his expectation. He does not expect anything less. He will guarantee that you have victory. When we say he guarantees, he says, I am the one that is going to make sure that you will have what? Victory. If there's anything that will stand in your way and try to prevent you and make you fail, he says, I am saying, victory is yours. He never calls you and tells you to hope that you will win. He says, you will win. Now, let's continue today. Today we will read only two verses. And from those verses, we'll get two lessons. Now let's read. Today we're reading from Judges chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Gideon replied. He's replying to the Lord, saying to him, go in this might of yours. You will overcome the Midianites. You'll overcome them as if you were fighting one man. So Gideon replied. He says, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. He answered, I will stay here until you return. This is what we're going to read about today. The first lesson that we are getting out of those two verses that we read just now is that it is important for you and I that when we hear God giving us instructions to do something, we must always wait or ask for confirmation. God gives you a word. He says, do this. you have to ask for a confirmation. Why? Because you live on planet Earth. You are not in heaven already, where you are isolated from any other influence that is in the world, where you may think you have heard from the Lord. How many people do we know that have destroyed their lives when they thought they heard from the Lord? Lives destroyed, families destroyed, great work destroyed, ministries destroyed, because somebody heard from the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, it was not the Lord that spoke to them. First thing, wait for confirmation. When God gives you a mission, you are allowed to ask Him for a confirmation that it is Him who is speaking to you. Don't just rush into those things. Many times people take up missions thinking that they are sent by God, only to find that they are driven by their own desire to meet a need. I see a need, and I think I'm capable of meeting that need. And then I think it's the Lord that is speaking to me. Of course, the Bible says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, God works in us both to will and to do according to His desire. God uses such things as well to direct us. But know for a fact that it's Him who is directing you. Let it not be just because you see a need and you think, I am the answer. You know, such mistakes happen so many times as well when it comes to relationships. People see a person and they think, I think I'll be a blessing. I can help and rescue this person. Achashim. And you make a big mistake of your life. And you get involved, you marry a wrong person just because you felt pity for the person. The other reason why people at times make mistakes is the devil himself. He gives them an opportunity to not follow God. That's the second thing. So they think that I went into this mission. I thought I was sent by God. I've told you that I was in a ministry before. Worked full-time as his own pastor under another ministry. And at that stage, when that opportunity came to me, because of how much I wanted to be in the ministry, I knew that I was called to be in the ministry. And I so wanted to be in the ministry. And I was praying about getting into the ministry. And I just could not understand why was God delaying using this mighty man of God. I just could not understand him. And an opportunity opened up. And when that opportunity opened up, I just did not see the need to pray. I just thought, look at the circumstances. They just line up exactly. And the door just opened and I went in there. And I can say today, that was the most miserable year of my life. Miserable, miserable. And I cannot blame anybody. I cannot blame the man of God that allowed me to say, God speaks to me. God does not use people to give us direction. They can confirm what God wants us to do, not them giving us direction. So I lost it. Went in there, it did not work. But I thank God for His mercy and grace that gave me wisdom to get out. And I did get out. So I'm just trying to say, don't be led by the need. Don't be led by the devil. Seek confirmation. If God says this is the way to go, ask God to give you a confirmation. You must know that at times we do things according to our own judgment and not because we are led by God. We even allow circumstances to guide us. Like the example that I gave you when I got into the ministry there. Everything was working. I started a home cell The home cell grew, the home cell multiplied, and the home cells multiplied. I became a supervisor and overseer. I was looking after an area. I was ready to be a zone pastor. Circumstances. That's what the circumstances were saying. But I made a big mistake. I told my wife that I knew when I got to that church that I was not called to be part of the pastoral team full time. I knew that I was called into the ministry, but I knew that I was not supposed to be part of the pastoral team. I was there to serve. For the period that God had put me there, God had called me to be part of that ministry, to support that work, and for me to learn. I learned so much from there. But when circumstances changed, I allowed circumstances to dictate to me and bring me to a point where I thought I was ready to be a zone pastor. Having known when I first got into that ministry, which was what, maybe about what? I think it was about 10 years, 9 years or so before. I just knew when I got in there. It was the right ministry for me to be with at that time. God had called me to be there, but God had not called me to be with the team as a pastor in that ministry. But circumstances. So we allow circumstances to guide us. Let me show you one example here. Let's go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6-10. From verse 6, next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching. Look at this. These are preachers. They are going around preaching the word of God. What do we see? We see the Holy Spirit preventing them from preaching the word. Circumstances must not dictate to you. Verse 7. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So they wanted to go there. They thought that was the next thing to do. But the Spirit of the Lord said no. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. And that night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once. Look at this now. We decided. So what did they do? They talked about this dream that he had. So they considered that and they felt peace about it. And then they made a decision to go that way. Having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So don't allow circumstances to lead you. When you hear God speaking to you, telling you to do something, ask for confirmation. Let God confirm it. If Satan cannot stop you, he will try to push you beyond what you should do. Hence, it is important to hear the voice of God. You will hear the voice of God as you spend time with Him in His word and prayer. This is very important. God uses His word to speak to us. But the Holy Spirit now indwells us. God Himself is inside us. Then as we spend time and we fellowship with Him, we become familiar then with His voice. Then we can hear His voice. You can never, ever be able to hear the Word of God effectively if you don't spend time with Him in His Word and in prayer. Spending time with God removes clutter from one's mind and makes one sensitive to the voice of God. The one challenge that we have us living in the world, we are always tempted to want to know everything. I want to know what is happening in China. I want to know what is happening in America, in South Africa. I want to know what is happening in Johannesburg. I want to know what is happening in Durban. I want to know everything. And I want to know everything about everybody. I want to know about every sport. I want to know about every industry. But the fact of the matter is, when you spend your time trying to know about everything else, and you don't spend time with God, you'll find that your mind will have all this clutter. And when the Lord speaks to you, what you hear is all these other things that you've been listening to. And you cannot tell for a fact that you're hearing from God. So you need to set aside time where you spend time with God in His Word and you spend time in prayer. You must understand as well, prayer is communion with God, nothing else. So hearing His Word and speaking to Him, hearing His Word and speaking to Him. That's the way that you can become sensitive to know the voice of God. Remember, we are talking about arising so that our light can be seen. We will not be able to effectively arise if we cannot hear the voice of God. We should never neglect hearing the voice of God. Another point that I want to bring across is that remember that hardship is not a sign that you are not where you are supposed to be. I want to show you an example again. When we go back to that verse, chapter 16 of Acts, verses 9 and 10. That night when Paul had a vision, the Bible tells us that then they decided to go to that place. As they went to preach the gospel there and moved on, the Bible says it came to a point where they were thrown into jail because they delivered a girl that was demon-possessed. And when that happened, the guys that were making money out of that, they took the guys, they threw them in jail, they were beaten and thrown into jail. Now, we can easily come to a conclusion to say, I am in jail today. Probably God did not want me to be part of what I was doing. What I was doing was the right thing because I am looking at what? Hardship. You must understand the ultimate plan of God. Remember what God achieved through them there when they were in jail and what happened when they were delivered out of that jail as well. So don't think hardship is a sign that you are at the wrong place. You may be at the right place at the right time, but have you heard God? Bazalwane, that's the key thing for us. What you are doing, have you heard God for a fact that this is what God wants you to do? I know that God will allow us to take time to speak about topics like those where we get into details of how to hear the voice of God, how to know for a fact that you've heard from God. We'll go through that. But right now, the Lord is just showing us the way to say, this is how we need to arise. So the second lesson that we get out of the verses that we read in the book of Judges chapter 6 is that we need to understand that we still need to honor God. We have a challenge within the body of Christ, especially the people that understand the grace of God. They abuse the grace of God. They think they are no longer supposed to honor God. They don't understand what we spoke about 3 weeks ago when we said when God introduced the law, He had principles, but because He wanted to prove to men that they cannot live up to His standard, He took the principles that He had, He made them a law. And then when those principles became a law, nobody managed to meet the standard. So now we then take the law and we say we don't want anything to do with the law. We push everything aside. We forget the fact that these are principles. God says as long as the earth remains, time for sowing a seed and time for reaping or harvesting will stand. We all of a sudden think, it's no longer needed for me to do that. But what we see here in this man is he started honoring God. Gideon honored God by offering a sacrifice to him. Listen to those words. I'm saying Gideon honored. I'm not saying that Gideon obeyed. He did this as an honor to the Lord. He was not following a command, but he was honoring God. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 10, we see Abraham, who is the father of our faith, doing exactly the same thing when he was visited by the Lord and two angels. What did he do? He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, allow me to go and prepare food for you." And he went and he prepared food for the angels of the Lord. It was to honor. And you must remember, Abraham lived before the law was introduced. So Abraham was not doing this because he was following the law, but he was honoring God. Your sacrifices, you doing what God needs, you must understand that God takes that, it becomes an honor to him. And the Bible tells us something in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, as you honor the Lord with your substance. And it's not just money. Of course, in that case, it's talking about money. As you honor the Lord with your substance or with your time, the Bible says, then you will have what? Abundance. God sees. He takes note of the times when we honor him. When we come here, as my wife was saying earlier, when we're talking about the time to honor the Lord, she was talking about offering. It's exactly what I'm talking about here as well. And we did not discuss our messages. I just believe that God is bringing this up to say, let us honor the Lord. But another way that we honor the Lord is to praise and worshiping him. Coming to the house of the Lord and we celebrate in the house of the Lord. We celebrate what he has done for us. We are saying, thank you, Father, for that. Don't take the things that you do to honor the Lord with lightly. God has given you a gift. Use your gift to honor the Lord. We are called by grace and we live by grace. But as we live by grace, we must understand that we serve an almighty God. And as we serve this almighty God, do we have that honor and respect in our hearts for the Almighty God? Or he has, because he calls us friends, that's what Jesus called his disciples. Because he calls us friends, therefore now we take him for granted. We must not allow familiarity to be our downfall in our walk with the Lord, becoming too familiar with the Lord. Understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying let's follow the laws. But I'm just saying in our hearts, what we do, let us honor the Lord. Why do you do what you're doing? Is it to make you right with him because you've made his standards? Or it is because out of your heart, you understand that he's a great God. And therefore you want to honor him. You want to say, I'm doing this in honor of God Almighty. Are you doing it because of just whatever reason, and therefore you don't put any heart to it? We must honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Honoring the Lord will help us even to make the right decisions at the right time. If we do not honor the Lord, we will choose things that will distract us. Things will become more important to us than being where and doing what God wants us to do. Bazalane, let us honor the Lord. God says, arise and shine, We've seen throughout the Bible that people that honored him, they saw the favor of God. They saw the power of God over their lives. So today we're saying, number one, make sure that you can hear the voice of God. Know his voice very well. But number two, then we're saying, honor the Lord in your heart. Honor him in your heart. He must not take the same place with any other thing. He is God Almighty. I just believe God is saying, let's honor him. Let's honor him. Praise the Lord. Another example as well of another person that honored the Lord. The Bible tells us about the woman from Shunem. The word says when this man of God came to that city to come and preach, this woman always said, come and have food at my place. Come and eat at my place. And then the woman went to her husband and said, the man of God comes here to minister the word to us, and therefore I would like us to build a room for him so that whenever he comes, he does not have to look for any place where he can sleep. But I want him to come and have this place set especially for him. That woman honored the man of God. But you must remember, as you honor the man of God, you're honoring the God that the man serves. And what happened there? The Bible says, as this woman honored the Lord, the man of God said to his servant, Gehazi, what does this woman need? What can we do for her? The Bible says, your gift will bring you before great men. And the Bible, when it's talking about that, it's not talking about your talents. It is talking about what you bring to whoever you're coming to. You remember the woman from Africa? The one that went to visit King Solomon? That brought spices and a lot of gifts. The Bible says that woman had full access to Solomon, the wisest man. A man that was so busy. That woman had full access to the man that had her answers. Why? Because she brought gifts to this man. It's a culture. I grew up in Makaya. You know, I was told, you go to visit somebody, bring a gift with you. It's a good culture. In the East, that is what was practiced. Even today, you see it, they still practice that. You never go and visit somebody having no gift for that particular person. Because your gift opened doors for you. Now, it's a principle that works, and this principle even works with God. Now, this woman, she offers the room for the man of God. And the man of God calls her. She says, no, I don't need anything. The man of God says, we can put a word for you with the king or whatever and all that. She says, I don't need anything. And then the man of God asks his servant, what does she need? The servant says, this woman does not have a child. The woman did not ask for a child because she decided to honor God. God honored her back with the deep desire that she had, which she had already given up on. The man of God said, by next year, this time, when I come back here, you'll have a son. How did that happen? Because she honored God. You remember the Ethiopian ruler in the book of Acts, the Bible says, this man, he offered prayers to the Lord and he gave gifts to the poor. He was feeding the poor. And then the angel of the Lord came to him, and his name is Cornelius. The angel of the Lord came to him and said, your prayers and almsgiving have become a memorial before God. And he said, send to the house of Simon the tanner. Send for Simon there. Call Peter and call him. He's going to tell you about salvation. What brought that to Cornelius' house? It's the honor that he had for God. He honored God. Nazalwane, I'm preaching this word to us. I'm saying today, let us understand we live under grace. There is a principle that will go nowhere, that stands. That principle is the principle to honor God. As we honor God, God will show us honor as well. I hope it has become clear now. Praise the Lord. Now, our conclusion. Before you start any mission, remember, make sure that you have heard from the Lord. Don't just start anything. Make sure that you've heard from the Lord. That's the first thing. The second thing is, show honor to God. When you do, you are showing that you recognize Him as Almighty. And that becomes your declaration of faith in Him. Honoring God is powerful. This is the word that the Lord has for us. It's a message that is linked to the word that He gave us for 2016, which is arise and shine. We will arise. We will shine. If we are at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And we will get that right if we know for a fact that we have heard from God. That's number one. Number two, we will arise and we will shine if we honor God. As we honor Him, He promises to honor us.